Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, we love to take these really fascinating deep dives into these government reports. And today, we're going to be looking at something pretty interesting. We're going to be taking a look at Deer Park, Texas, and their annual financial report for the fiscal year ending September 30, 2023.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see like how much you can learn about a city's priorities. You know, and like what's going on just by looking at their financial health. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, I was looking through this and one of the things that jumped out to me was this AAA credit rating from S&P Global Ratings. This is the highest possible rating a city can get. What does that actually like mean for the residents of Deer Park?
So it basically means that they're in a very good position to meet their financial commitments. You know, you can kind of think about it like having excellent credit. So it allows them to borrow money at lower interest rates, which, you know, in the long run, that's going to save taxpayer dollars when they need to do things like big infrastructure projects and community improvements.
So it's not just this abstract financial concept.
Yeah.
It really does have an impact on the services residents receive and how much they pay for them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, speaking of investing in the community, the report highlights how Deer Park voters have approved these numerous bond programs since 1986. Totaling millions of dollars for things like drainage systems, fire safety upgrades, street repairs, and community centers. But here's the interesting thing. As of September 30, 2023, they have no outstanding bonds.
Wow.
What does that tell you about their financial management?
That's pretty impressive. That suggests some really, really good planning and commitment to kind of, you know, paying off their debt.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if that's connected at all to their AAA rating.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely demonstrates fiscal responsibility. You know, they're being very proactive. And it frees up resources for, you know, all these future projects and services that they might want to, you know, implement down the road.
Yeah, so they're not just kicking that can down the road. They're actually addressing these issues head on.
Right.
Now let's talk about people. The report shows that Deer Park's population has actually decreased by a little over 1,800 residents, or about 5% in the last 5 years. At the same time, the number of full-time city employees has actually increased. So how does that shift in population impact the city's budget and resource allocation?
Well, that's a really good question. Yeah. And it's something that a lot of cities across the country are kind of dealing with. You know, you might think that a declining population would mean a decrease in demand for services, but actually a lot of times it means that there's a shift in the types of services that are needed. So the city really has to adjust its priorities and figure out, okay, how do we need to allocate these resources to meet the changing needs of our residents?
So even though there are fewer residents, the city still needs to maintain or even expand certain services.
Yeah, exactly. And especially with an increase in city staff, you know, it really does make you wonder, okay, are operational costs rising even as the tax base is shrinking? So it's a really complex, you know, thing that these officials have to think about.
It's a balancing act. So let's get to the topic that I think everyone wants to hear about, taxes.
Oh, yes.
The good news for Deer Park residents is that the total tax rate has remained stable for the past 5 years. But that doesn't tell the whole story.
Right. Generally. So, because even though the tax rate's stable, your tax bill might not stay the same.
Yeah.
Because what we're looking at here is the taxable value per capita has actually significantly increased. It's gone from $75,834 to $114,238 over the past 5 years.
Wow, that's a huge jump. What might cause something like that?
Well, it could be a number of factors, you know, rising property values in general. Or, you know, new construction that adds to the tax base, or even a shift in the types of properties that are being developed. So it's really important to understand, you know, what are the specific drivers in Deer Park?
So if the value of your property goes up, even though the tax rate stays the same, your tax bill could go up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, here's another interesting thing I noticed in the report. Single family residential properties make up the majority of Deer Park's total assessed valuation, about 56%. What does that tell you?
That's really interesting. I think it suggests that there's, you know, a strong residential focus, probably a lot of families, which is important when the city's planning services and, you know, allocating those resources.
Okay, so let's talk about how Deer Park is bringing in money. They list various revenue sources, including things like taxes, fees, fines, permits, charges for services, intergovernmental revenues.
It's a pretty diverse portfolio.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty diverse.
Which is good.
What do you think about that?
I think it's a sign of really good financial management because it means they're not overly reliant on any one single source.
Yeah, they're spreading the risk.
Exactly.
So on the other side of the equation, we have expenditures, and the report breaks these down by function. Things like general government, community development, public works, parks and recreation, public safety, debt service. Mm-hmm. What stands out to you in these spending patterns?
Well, as you might expect, public safety is taking up a big chunk of that budget, which makes sense. You know, police, fire, emergency services, those are all essential. But it is interesting to see how the other areas are being funded as well. For example, community development expenditures have actually been increasing steadily over the past 5 years.
So they're not just focusing on keeping the lights on and the streets safe. They're really trying to enhance that quality of life for residents.
Exactly.
Thinking more holistically.
Mm.
Now, before we dive deeper into some of these specific trends, let's take a moment to think about what we've learned so far.
Yeah, so we've seen that Deer Park has, you know, a really solid financial foundation, you know, that AAA credit rating. And their commitment to paying down that debt, they're really investing in community improvements, they're adapting to these changing demographics. But there are still some questions that I think are worth exploring, like, what are the long-term implications of their declining population? And how are these rising property values really going to affect individual tax bills?
Those are excellent points. We're going to delve into those nuances when we come back. So stay tuned for more insights into Deer Park's financial landscape and what it means for the people who call it home.
So welcome back to our deep dive into Deer Park's finances.
You know, before the break, we were looking at their overall financial health, their credit rating, their commitment to those community projects, and that really interesting shift in population and employment. And I want to kind of zoom in a little bit and look at some of those specific trends in their revenue and spending.
Yeah, let's get into the nitty-gritty.
So looking at the revenue side, it's pretty clear that taxes make up a big chunk of their income.
Right.
But it's not just property taxes. We see a mix here. Property industrial district sales, hotel, motel occupancy, franchise taxes.
So they've got a pretty diversified portfolio.
Yeah, they do. What do you think about that?
I think it's a really smart approach. You know, it's just like an investor diversifying their portfolio. It just gives them more stability.
Yeah.
And helps them weather those economic ups and downs.
Yeah, it's all about managing that risk.
Exactly.
So if we look at how those revenues have changed over the past 5 years, there's some interesting trends.
Yeah.
What are some of the highlights?
Well, one of the biggest increases has been in what they call intergovernmental revenues, which is basically funding from the state and federal levels. And it's almost doubled over the past 5 years.
Wow. So they're getting a little help from their friends at the state and federal level?
Yeah, they're getting some financial assistance from their richer relatives.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
What do you think is driving that trend?
Well, it could be a few things. Maybe they've been really good at securing grants for specific projects, or there's been an increase in state or federal funding for, you know, certain types of services. It would be interesting to dig a little deeper and see exactly where that money's coming from.
Yeah, it's almost like they're being rewarded for good financial management by being eligible for more of these grants and funding opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely.
It shows that being responsible at the local level can actually pay off.
Mm-hmm.
So let's switch gears now and look at the expenditures. Where's all this money going?
So the report breaks it down by function. And as you might expect, a big chunk of it is going to public safety. Which makes sense, right? Police, fire, emergency services, those are all essential.
Essential for any community.
Yeah.
But it's also important to see how they're funding those other areas. What else jumps out at you in this expenditure breakdown?
Well, it's interesting to see that they've been steadily increasing their expenditures on community development over the last 5 years.
Oh, interesting.
Which I think shows that they're not just focused on, you know, the basic necessities, like keeping the lights on and the streets safe, but they're really investing in initiatives that improve the overall quality of life for residents.
Yeah, they're taking a more holistic approach.
Exactly.
Now, I know not everyone has the time or the, you know, energy to pour through these financial reports. So for our listeners who are, you know, busy living their lives, what are some of the essential things they should keep in mind when they're thinking about thinking and acting locally?
That's a great question. I think one of the most important things to remember is that local government decisions have a direct impact on your daily life, whether it's, you know, the quality of your schools or the safety of your streets or, you know, the parks and rec programs that are available. It's not just something happening way over there in City Hall. These decisions affect you every day.
So it's not just abstract concepts and bureaucratic processes. It's real world stuff.
Exactly.
That affects our lives.
And another thing is, don't be afraid to engage with your local government. Go to city council meetings. Speak up. Reach out to your elected officials with questions or concerns. Your voice really does matter.
Yeah, it's about being an active participant.
Why is it
in your community?
Absolutely.
Not just a passive observer.
And lastly, pay attention to your city's financial reports. They might seem intimidating at first, but they're a really valuable resource for understanding, you know, where your money's going, what are their priorities, what challenges are they facing.
You know, you don't have to be a financial expert to get something out of these reports. You can start by looking at the highlights. What's the overall budget? Where's the money coming from? Where's it going? And if something jumps out at you, like a big increase in spending in one area or a decrease in revenue from another, don't hesitate to ask questions. You know your city officials should be able to explain these things to you.
Right. Transparency and accountability are super important.
Now, before we wrap up this episode, I want to circle back to something we touched on earlier. Deer Park has this really impressive track record of saving taxpayer dollars. Through their bond refunding and prepayment programs, they've saved millions of dollars over the years. I think that's definitely worth taking a closer look at.
Yeah.
So we're back. And, you know, we were just talking about how Deer Park has been saving taxpayer dollars through these bond programs.
Yeah, it's really impressive, actually.
Like refinancing your mortgage to get a lower interest rate. So the city can issue new bonds at a lower interest rate, use those to pay off older, higher interest bonds, and ultimately save money for the taxpayers.
Yeah, it's a great way to think about it. They've really taken advantage of those opportunities to reduce their debt and free up resources for other priorities.
So what can we as citizens learn from their example?
I think it highlights how important it is to ask questions. You know, hold our local governments accountable. Are they looking for ways to refinance or prepay debt? Are they being proactive about finding grants and funding opportunities? These are all things we should be asking our elected officials.
Yeah, it's about being informed and involved, not just at the national level, but at the local level as well.
Exactly.
So as we wrap up our deep dive here, if there's one key takeaway, it's this. Don't underestimate the power of local government and the impact it has on your daily life. Take the time to learn about your city's finances. Attend those council meetings. Ask questions. Get involved.
You might be surprised by what you learn. And who knows, you might even find yourself wanting to get more involved in shaping the future of your community.
So thanks for joining us for this deep dive into thinking and acting locally through Deer Park's financial report. We encourage you to find and explore similar reports for your own towns and cities. Remember, knowledge is power. The more you understand about how your local government works, the better equipped you'll be to advocate for the needs of your community.
And you might even find some hidden gems in your own city's reports.
That's right. Until next time, stay curious, keep exploring. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive.